Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast.
Now, real quick, before we jump in today, I need to explain something to you about how I write our sermons, because it's going to be relevant. We typically, as a church, our team plans about a year in advance, and you know, I'll start working on messages about 3 or 4 months in advance. Typically, I'll work at a semester at a time, so, you know, like fall and spring. And so I've been working on this series now for almost a year, and this summer, we really kind of prayed about it and planned it on a weekly basis. And then I actually write my sermons out on Tuesdays, and I do that 3 weeks in advance of preaching it. And so, like this Sunday, I wrote a sermon we're preaching 3 weeks. And so I'll write it on a Tuesday. We'll talk about it as a team on a Wednesday, and then we'll kind of plan the services, and then I have a couple of weeks to think about it. Well, I tell you that because the sermon I'm about to preach today that we're going to talk about, I wrote on September 4th. Which, you know, if the way we're dealing with it in Horry County now, there's like pre-Florence and post-Florence. And I wrote this on September 4th, pre-Florence. Like, I actually wrote this pre-evacuation. I wrote this before we even announced there was going to be an evacuation. That's when I wrote this message. And the reason I tell you that is because as I begin to talk about it, it's going to be really easy for you to begin to say, oh, he rewrote a sermon for this Sunday. And I didn't. In fact, I was supposed to preach this last week, but you know, because of everything that's happened with the hurricane and with the flooding, you know, we missed church and we got pushed a week. And I just thought that was such a cool thing I wanted to share with you going in, so that you weren't wondering. And I tell you that not because I'm awesome, because I'm not awesome at all. I'm telling you that because what we're going to talk about today, and what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, is trying to clarify our picture of God, what we think about when we think of God. And the reason I wanted you to know when God told me to speak this and when God wrote this is because this was a message we needed today. I believe many of us needed this, the hope God's going to provide today. Many of us needed the help God's going to provide today. And I thought it was really remarkable that before we knew we needed it, before I knew we needed it, before anybody knew what was coming, God had already provided. Now, I get it. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, you think this all sounds crazy. But you're at church. What did you think we were going to talk about? Like, we're going to talk about God. And so anyway, I just want you to know that going in, because if you attend Wellspring a lot, you know, sometimes I'll kind of come out and I'll kind of throw out a phrase and say, how many of you know this phrase? And we'll talk about the phrase. And then I'll be like, you know, that the way we feel about that phrase is, you know, God wants us to feel that way. And it's just kind of a common way I'll open up some sermons. And so the way I was going to open up today was to ask you how many of you were familiar with this phrase. A light at the end of the tunnel. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you weren't as familiar with it before, but we're all familiar with it now. But if you don't know what it means, a light at the end of the tunnel simply just means it's that moment, it's that break, it's that thing that happens that makes you feel like, okay, maybe the worst is over, maybe it's going to get better. And it's a universal thing. Everybody's experienced this. If you had a newborn, it's the moment that first night when the newborn doesn't start screaming at midnight. And you kind of wake up anyway, and you're like, wait, they're not screaming. Wait, should I go check on them to make sure they're okay because they're not screaming? Any of your moms do that? Like, wake them up to make sure they're not. And the dads are like, what are you doing? But you know, that moment, it's that moment when you know, you're stuck in that dead-end job, and you finally get the second interview for the dream job. You're like, man, things might actually get better. You know, it's that moment when you've been dating and nothing's working. You've been dating and nothing's clicking. And then you get that text. Is that even how it works anymore? Do you people text? What do you do? You know, or you know, I don't know. I've been married 15 years and I don't want to go back, so I don't know. But we understand, right, this idea, this concept of needing that moment where things are finally maybe going to start to get better. This week, we praise God that the water finally stopped rising. It's not gone yet by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not getting any higher. And every day as you watch and that water drops a little bit more, your soul begins to feel like, okay, maybe there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe things are going to get better. All of us are just waiting with bated breath and praying for Horry County schools hurry up. In fact, hold on. Okay. Woo! All right. But we all understand this idea of sometimes we can't do it ourselves. Sometimes there are situations, there are circumstances, things are bad, things don't look good, there doesn't look like there's any hope, and you can't find it yourself. You need the light at the end of the tunnel. And again, if you don't understand the metaphor, a light at the end of the tunnel, if you were trapped in a cave, right? You were trapped in a cave and there were darkness and you were wandering around in the cave, and then you finally saw a little light at the end of the cave, at the end of the tunnel, you would move towards the light because the light would show you that something was on the other side. Either it's outside or it's someone looking for you, and you would be relieved for anyone who didn't understand what that meant. A light at the end of the tunnel, it's a natural thing we as humans need. And I bring it up because we're in the series about who God is and what we think about when we think of God and all those things. I just think that when we miss this idea that when we think of God, we should see him as our light at the end of the tunnel. That he loves us so much. That no matter what our circumstances are, he wants to know he is there. He wants us to know that he is there for us and that he wants to help. Now, you may not feel that way yet, and I totally understand. But that's why we're doing this series. And again, if you're a guest today, we're in the middle of the series. We're calling it Viewfinder. And if you want to go back and maybe catch up on what we've been talking about, you can go to our website, wellspringchurch.tv/viewfinder. And we'll have the entire series there. Basically, what we're doing in this series is we are trying to figure out what we should think about when we think of God. Who is God? What is he? How does he feel about us? How do we think about God? And the reason we're talking about it that way is there's this quote from this famous guy. His name is A.W. Tozer. He was a Christian theologian. And here's what he writes about our thoughts about God. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I agree. I think the picture we have of God, the things we think about when we think of God, are the most important things about us because they are going to affect every single thing we do in our life. They're going to affect the way we love, the way we lead, the way we forgive, the way we parent. They're going to affect the way we're bosses, the way we're employees. It's going to affect everything. And doing what I do for a living, I talk to lots of people. And I read lots of studies, and I know there are lots of thoughts and lots of opinions about God. And so all we're trying to do is make sure our thoughts are the correct thoughts, that our thoughts are the accurate thoughts, that our thoughts are the right thoughts. And so what we've been doing in this entire series is we've basically realized that when God sent his son Jesus to the earth, he sent his son Jesus to be our picture of who God is. And so especially us Christians, we can look at Jesus and we can look at his life and his teachings and his message and the way he treated people. And we believe that we know exactly who God is. We know exactly how God feels. We know exactly what God thinks about everything. We believe that Jesus perfectly and completely reveals to us everything we need to know about God. And so basically when we began this series, I kind of challenged all of us who are a part of the series and who are watching online, I challenged us all for the duration of the series to just open our minds and open our hearts and kind of put aside what we think about when we think of God and maybe some of our baggage and maybe some of our bad experiences, and let's try to allow God to create a better, more accurate, clear picture in us. And here's how we're going to do that. We've decided that if our beliefs about God don't match the behaviors of Jesus, then let's allow Jesus' behaviors to shape our beliefs. It's simple. Hey, when I think about God, if what I think about isn't what Jesus would do, then how about if I look at what Jesus would do and I allow that to shape what I think about God? And so last week we began to do that, and we looked at Jesus' behaviors, and here's what we learned about God. We learned that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you with all his heart. We also know that God wants a relationship with you. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. Why? It's because God wants to give you the best life possible. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. He wants to give you the best life possible. Now, we talked about this last week. Some of you, you've been Christians your whole life. Some of you, this is so easy for you. You look at that and you're like, yep, I get it. I believe it. I understand it. When I think about God, I think of a God who loves me, wants a relationship with me, a God that wants to give me the best possible life. I get it. Settled. Let's move on. And man, if that's you today, can I just say thank you for being here? And can you pray for me? Because I'm not there. And most of us in this room aren't there. We have days where this is easy. We have days where we think, yep, that's who God is. That's what he wants for our life. This is amazing. And then we have other days where we aren't sure. We have other days that things happen in our life. They happen to us, or they happen because of us, or they just happen and we don't know what to do. And it makes us doubt our picture of God. Because we look at the circumstances of our life, we look at the things that are happening, and we're like, well, no, but if God loves me and he wants the best for me, how is this happening? And why is this happening? And why is that happening? And the picture gets muddied. Now again, maybe that's just me. But I believe many people feel this way. Many people get confused and they don't quite know how to reconcile what's happening in their life with this picture of God. And it is into that moment that I believe Jesus steps. And it is into that moment that I believe Jesus speaks. And it is into that moment that I believe God declares to all of us, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter if it's your fault, no matter if it's somebody else's fault, when you feel that way, when you feel down, when you feel discouraged, when you feel despair, when you feel separated from your Heavenly Father, when you don't quite know what to do, when you don't know where to turn, when you feel trapped in darkness, find my son, because he is the light at the end of the tunnel. If you are familiar at all with Jesus' teachings, if you ever read what we call the Gospels, which are the four biographies we have of Jesus' life, you know that this image, this metaphor of light, was something Jesus talked about all the time. He was always saying, I am the light, seek the light. He even told his followers, you are the light of the world. He was always talking about light. And I believe it was because he knew that was a picture, that was an image, that was a concept, that was a metaphor that we could grasp, that we could hold, and that we could implant in our brains, and that we could just begin to remind ourselves over and over and over again. When we think about God, think about light. When we think about God, think about the light at the end of the tunnel. Think about help. Now, the reason I say that is, again, is because Jesus said it over and over and over again. So today what I want to do is I want to pick up right where we left off last week. If you were here last week, you know we talked about two different encounters from Jesus' life. One encounter was Jesus, he was talking to a religious leader who had some questions because he didn't have an accurate picture of God, and Jesus gives him a clearer picture. And then we jump to another story from Jesus' life where there's this young lady who made a mistake. And she is brought before Jesus, and these men want Jesus to condemn her. They want Jesus to punish her for her mistakes, right? Now she had made the mistake. She had done what they said she had done. But if you remember last week, and if you weren't here, Jesus gets down in her face, and he looks at her, and he says, hey, I don't condemn you. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to yell. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to make your life worse. I don't want to punish you in any way. That's not why I'm here. He says, I want to help you. I want to help make sure this doesn't happen to you again, because this is painful, right? And I know you're embarrassed. And I want better for you than this in your life. And so he says, hey, I don't condemn you, but I'm going to correct you. And if you'll let me, I'll show you how to avoid these situations in the future. And I'm convinced by this time that Jesus is talking, there's a crowd that's gathered and they're watching. And so immediately after this moment, immediately after Jesus says this thing where he steps into this lady's situation, steps into her mistake, and he begins to fix her and begins to solve her problem and say, hey, we can make this better for you. I can make life better. It's almost as if he realizes everyone's gathered around and they're like, wait, what's going on? And so he stands up in this moment and he looks at all his people and he says, no, let me be clear who I am and what I'm here for. Let me help you guys understand it. Let me give you a clearer, better picture of why I've come. And he says these words. He says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, what I want to do is I want to step back and I want to break this down for you, and I want to show you exactly what he is saying to this woman, what he's saying to his people almost 2,000 years ago, and what he's saying to us. Because, folks, I'm telling you, when we get this picture, it has the power to change everything. Because here's what he's saying. Let's go back. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, what does a light do? A light illuminates. A light provides clarity. A light provides guidance. A light serves as a beacon. Now, depending on your picture of God, when you hear that Jesus was the light of the world, some of us can begin to think that that means he's a spotlight. Anybody ever felt that way? That God's got a spotlight, and you're like the criminals trying to escape from prison, and the spotlight's just flashing so he can catch you in the act. Right? That's sometimes what people hear of when they think that I am the light of the world. But we know that's not true, because not only has Jesus told us that's not true, Jesus has just shown us that's not true. He has just had an encounter with the woman who had made a mistake. And what he basically did is he just helped her, and he stood up and he said, what I did for her, I want to do for everybody, because I am the light of the world. I am not here to harm. I am here to help. I am here to provide hope. I am here to give you a place to look to, place to run to, a place to pursue when you feel lost, when you feel distracted, when you feel hopeless. Don't worry, just find me, and it should be easy because I am the light of the world. It is an invitation, it is permission to have hope in your life. That's what Jesus is doing. You ever notice that hope is a dangerous thing? You ever find that tension, that balance of hope? It's like you want to have hope, but then you don't want to have hope too much because you're afraid to let you down. What Jesus is saying when he's declaring, I am the light of the world, he is giving every one of us who calls him Father, every one of us who believes in him, he has given us permission to hope at all times. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's happening, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how tough it feels, Jesus, by declaring, I am the light of the world, says, I give you permission to hope. Not only do I give you permission to hope, I'm going to tell you how to hope. I'm going to show you what to do. He says, I am the light of the world. And what does he say next? He says, I'm the light of the world, and if you follow me. See, what he's saying is, he's saying, hey, when you feel trapped, when you feel in trouble, when you feel scared, when things don't make sense, look for me, find me, and follow me. Just take a step towards me. Which, doesn't that make sense? When you think about the metaphor of the light at the end of the tunnel, if you were trapped in a cave and you saw a light, would anybody go the other way? Would anybody go, oh, that's the first light I've seen in a year. Wonder what's down this side. No, you would run with reckless abandon to the light because you instinctively understand. This is so common, I don't have to explain it. You understand when you're trapped in darkness and you find a light, you pursue that light as hard as you can because that light is going to lead to better. If you understand that, you understand Jesus. And you understand your heavenly Father. And you understand the way he feels about you all the time. When you feel hopeless, he has declared he is hope. Look for him, find him, and pursue him. He says, I am the world, and if you follow me, this is the promise, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You won't have to walk in darkness, but you will have the light that leads to life. Isn't that the way you would really describe the way you feel when your circumstances are out of control? Isn't that the way you feel when things just don't make sense? When nothing's going like it should? It's darkness, right? It's loneliness. It's confusion. It's isolation. See, these are things that can keep us from our Heavenly Father and can keep us from the life He wants for us when we feel alone, when we feel confused, and when we feel desperate. And so what Jesus is not only saying, He's promising, He's pointing. He's saying, when you feel that way, when you don't know where to turn, when you don't know what to do, when all this is a struggle, all you have to do is look for me. And if you look, I'll be there because I'm the only light. And then, just take a step towards me. Just take a step towards me and you won't have to walk in darkness. You'll have the light that leads to life. I will walk with you. I will walk with you through this. Now, please hear me. It doesn't mean your circumstances will automatically change. It doesn't mean the storm will automatically get better. It doesn't mean that it'll all go away. It just means you don't have to go through it alone. It just means that you have permission in that moment. The moment you begin pursuing Jesus, you have permission to believe that it will get better. Now, you may wonder, how does Jesus do that? Why should I believe it? How can I even trust Him and who He says He is? Well, we talked about last week. Let's examine very quickly what Jesus did for us. Jesus came to earth to rescue us. Now, why we need to be rescued, we talked about it last week. Everybody's favorite word in church, because we are sinners, which just basically means we do things God doesn't want us to do. That sin is the reason we have pain here on earth. It's the reason we have guilt. It's the reason we have shame. It's the reason we have regret. Sin sabotages our life and then separates us from God eternally. Sin has a penalty attached, and that penalty, according to our Heavenly Father and His justice system, is death. But Jesus came to set us free from that. Jesus came to pay that penalty for us. And again, if you know the story, He's handed over to the Romans and He actually died. He dies, he's nailed to a cross and He dies. And what we believe happened is God took the punishment of the penalty and the anger that we all earned for our mistakes, and instead of punishing us, punished Jesus in our place once for all time, so it's gone. So if you wonder why you should trust Jesus, well, number one, it's because He paid the debt you couldn't pay so that He could promise you hope, so that He could promise you that it would get better. He paid it. He's not just promising it will get better. He paid the price. He actually physically can make it better because He took away the penalty we all have for our sin. So He paid for it. And then number two, just to show us how powerful He was, just to make us understand, really trust Him, that we could really lean into Him, that we could really believe Him, that we could really count on this, that we could really, truly, maybe for the first time in our lives, have permission for hope, permission to believe that things were going to get better. Jesus went and did something that no one had ever done before. He told His followers before He died, hey, by the way, I'm going to come back to life. And none of them listened. Because that's insane, right? And He died. And on Saturday, He stayed dead. Because that's what dead people do. It is. And on Sunday, none of them were at the tomb. Nobody was counting down. 3, 2, 1, let's come back. Because they didn't believe. But He came back to life. Not His ideas, not His message. Bro walked out of the tomb, high-fived His disciples, and said, let's go, I'm hungry. Yeah. Look it up. He goes and eats fish. He comes back to life. Do you know why? Because He wasn't just giving you permission for hope. He was proving He had the power to back it up. He was proving. I know your circumstances. I know what's happened. I know that addiction. I know the brokenness. I know what's going on there. Hey, I know you feel like you're trapped. I know like you feel like you're stuck in darkness. Guess what? You are, but I'm the light of the world. You don't have to live in darkness anymore. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to struggle. Just come to me. Just find me. Just move towards me. Just take a step. I'm right here. I know you feel scared. I know you feel afraid. Don't worry. I've already paid for it. It's fine. Let's go. I got you. I know you're afraid I can't do it, but remember, this guy, dead, came back to life, powerful dude. I got your back. Let's go. It's not empty promises. It's not high rhetoric. It's the God of the universe doing whatever it took to communicate to a world he loves. This is a better picture. This is who I am. And this is something you can count on. This is something you can trust. So if you find yourself today in any form of life, in any pattern, anything, begging, pleading for that light at the end of the tunnel, it's there, it's real. His name is Jesus. And he says, just come, follow me. Why? Why would he do this? Because of what we know about God. Because God loves you with all his heart. And God wants a relationship with you. Because God wants to give you the best life possible. But he wants to keep building the picture. He wants to keep building the image. He wants you to have metaphors. He knows that things are going to happen. Situations are going to come. You need a lot more than just these three phrases. You need a fully formed picture, a fully formed understanding. So he sends his son to live for 3 years so we can study it and have a fully formed picture of who Jesus is. And as we study Jesus' life and as we hear him say that he is the light of the world, the promise that comes through, the promise we can cling to, the promise that can get us through no matter what is coming, the promise delivered to us today, and that I pray will become the foundational principle of our lives when we think about God and how he feels about us, is that when his son proclaimed that he was the light of the world and we could follow him and not have to walk in darkness, what he was declaring and what we can hold on to when we feel hopeless, is that Jesus gives hope that help is on the way. See, it's not enough just to hope. You have to hope that help is coming. You need the back end. You need the finish. You need the promise. Jesus not only gives permission for hope, he paid for the help. And then he revealed the power to make it happen. It's been a tough few weeks in Horry County. And there are some people that need more help than others, and there are some people that need more hope than others. And I understand today, if your house is flooded, saying, walk towards Jesus, it doesn't quite cut it, does it? I get that. Jesus got that. See, Jesus did this really cool thing. Before he left, he gathered his guys together. And he said, hey guys, here's your job now. Your job is to go love the world like I love the world. And your job is to go tell people about me and convince them to follow me, convince them that their life would be better if they follow me. And then they're going to go out and they're going to love the world too. So if you're here today and you're saying, yeah, I need emotional hope. I need spiritual hope, but I need physical help. There are things happening. We understand. And Jesus gives hope that help is on the way. And as his church, as his people, we proclaim we are here to help. And we're not going anywhere. I told our staff this week that we're going to keep having Sunday services because this is important and this is valuable and people need a place to gather and people need a place to find hope and people need a place for healing, and we're going to do that. This matters. We're going to keep doing this. But everything we do as an organization for a while, until it gets better, is to help. Whoever needs it, however they need it, for as long as they need it. And it's not because of us. We're not patting ourselves on the back. It's because Jesus gives hope that help is on the way. And at Wellspring, that hope has a name and a face, and it's us. We are the hope, and we are here to help. And I promise you, obviously, I didn't know there would be a flood. But Jesus led me to write those words a month ago, September 4th, before there was a storm. So the same God who led me to write those words is the same God that led you here today. He's the same God that knows you need hope. He's the same God that knows you need help. And this church is here for you. We've set up a website to request help for the storm. You can get more information about that on your way out. But we want to help in all areas. We know you have spiritual questions, and that's why we exist as a church. That's why we have an entire spiritual development process and classes. It's why every Sunday when we dismiss, we have men and women who stand down front. They're called our prayer team. You know what they're here for? They're here to help. They're here to point you towards hope. They're here to point you towards the light of Jesus. And they're also here to provide help. We actually, God's blessed us. We have resources to help with certain things, whatever's going on in your life. And if we can't personally do it here, we have partners all over the community that we can point you to. Anything. You got a problem. You need help. Take a step towards Jesus. Come ask us. We'll help. Because that's who He is. And that's who our Heavenly Father is. So as His people, that is who we must be. Jesus gives hope that help is on the way. So guess what? Wellspring gives hope that help is on the way. And so whatever it is, wherever you need hope today, look to Jesus. Look to the light. And take a step towards Him. I don't know what your step is today. I don't know what it is. But you do. Take a step towards Jesus. Maybe you need to come down and talk to some of the prayer team about beginning a relationship with Jesus. About how to just start the process. They would love to talk to you. Maybe you've been a Christian for so long now, you're like, I'm past this hope thing and this help thing. I've got that. Fine. Then you go help other people. That's great. If you've got all this, if you figured it all out, fantastic. Go help everybody else. Should be real easy because you've got it all figured out. But we all have a step we can take. And that step begins with understanding the picture of who God is, a God who loves you. A God who wants a relationship with you. A God who wants to give you the best life possible. And a God who put that into practice through His Son. And who gave us all a light to look at, a light to follow, a light to learn from, and a light to lead people to. A light that gives hope that help is on the way. It is. We're here to help. You are not alone. You do not have to walk in darkness anymore, because the light that leads to life is here. So what step can you take today? Not only towards a better picture, but towards a better life. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. Man, we thank you for your Son. Wow, we thank you for who He is and just for how perfect He is and how powerful and how we can just trust Him and hold on to Him and guide and believe Him. God, I just pray right now for all of us that we'll begin to see Jesus for who He is, as the light of the world, as hope, as a place to run towards, as a beacon. And as we go, Father, may we bring people with us. May we understand we no longer have to walk in darkness, but we can follow the light that leads to life. May we be people that point to life. May we be people that bring life. May we be people that give life. May we be people that not only enjoy our hope, Father, but that we help others find the same thing. We love you. We thank you for your son. We thank you for this picture. May our lives never be the same as we truly embrace the idea that you sent your son Jesus to bring hope. Not empty hope, not false hope, but hope that help is on the way. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.